Today, I told you we had something special for you today, and I also said if you wanted to know what it was, you had to be here to see it, and you're here, and that's awesome. I'm going to take a few minutes, after I introduce our speaker today, I'm going to take a few minutes, and just so you know, I'm not running away, I'm going to go visit your kids in kids ministry, and we're going to have a great time, and then I'm going to go visit your kids in student ministry, and it's going to be crazy. But I don't get that opportunity, so you'll see me walk out, and then you'll see me walk back in later. But when we were praying about this 419 series and about making a difference in our community, there is no one in our church that makes a stronger impact on making a difference in our community than does Betty Bassett, our outreach director. Praise God. Amen. She and Jim have been part of this church for many years. They have served in so many different capacities. Jim right now is serving in the capacity of an elder, and you see them everywhere. They're involved in everything. And I've over the last 2 years, I've had the privilege of meeting people all around Sylvania, and they will say to me, "Hey, where do you go to church?" And I'll say, I go to McCord Road Christian Church. And what do you do there? "Oh, I'm the pastor there." And they'll say, "Oh, that's good. You attend church with Betty Bassett?" So now I've just started saying, "Hi, I attend church where Betty Bassett attends," and it is a blessing to be known by good people and associated with good people. And so today, I'm honored, I'm privileged, I'm thankful to be able to say, "Betty Bassett, would you come deliver the word of the Lord to us today?" Praise God.
Mike, I just want to say thank you to you for this incredible opportunity and just the confidence and trust that you've put in me to deliver the word today. So thank you. I appreciate it. He's going to go off to Kidsman. And I just want to thank this church. As he said, I've been here for quite a number of years, and I have just had incredible opportunities to grow in your faith. And can I just tell you that if you are here for a first time today, or if you're newer to our church and you are looking for a place where you can have opportunities to grow in your faith, you are in the right place, because this is a great place to grow in your faith. Well, to share a little fun fact about me, I am from a family of 12 girls. You heard that right. I have 11 sisters. So you know what that means? I am really good at sharing a bathroom. I'm really good at it. And people always want to know, the main question I get is, do you all get along? And we do. We all get along. We have a great relationship, and it's a lot of fun. But I'm excited today to bring a message on something more important than sharing a bathroom, and that is sharing your faith. We are in the Make a Difference in the 419 series, and I can't think of any way to make a greater difference in our community than to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. And so in review, if you remember, a couple weeks ago, we had Pastor Mike Acosta. He was from Houston, Texas, and he beautifully walked us through the story of the woman at the well, and he said that we are each carriers of the salvation message. So we are to carry that message out of this building into our community. It was beautiful. And then last week, Pastor Micah and Pastor Chris shared the story of Jesus speaking to the crowds, and he said that Jesus had compassion on them. And they challenged us, can you see people the way Jesus sees people? And do you see yourself the way that Jesus sees you, as a carrier of the salvation message? And so I think once we know those two things, then we are ready to do the next step, which is to share our faith. Because while we can make a difference by feeding people and giving them clean clothes, in reality, we're giving them nothing of substance if we don't bring them the gospel. And so that's how we're going to make a difference in the 419. So I want to tell you something really cool and exciting about you living here in your neighborhood where you do. We're going to look at Acts 17, 26 through 27. He says, he marked out their appointed times and histories and the boundaries of their lands. This is saying to you that God determined before you were ever born that you would live in this time, in this place, in your neighborhood, in your house, because he had a purpose for you. What's that purpose? God did that so that they would seek him and reach out for him and find him though he is not far from any of us. I know you were going to say that your purpose was to share the gospel, but no, actually, it's to rely on him, because if you don't rely on God, you are not going to be able to do what I am sharing with you today. Sound good? Now, why do we need to share the gospel? Many of you come from faith backgrounds where that wasn't an expectation. No one ever taught you to share the gospel. And so why do we need to share the gospel? Well, quite frankly, it's commanded in Scripture. So let's take a look at just a couple of those passages. Mark 16:15 says, to go into the world and preach the good news to everyone, not just to some, not just to the people we like, but to everyone. And we're to preach the good news. That's right. It's good news. Last December, my daughter got engaged, and I wanted to tell the checkout lady at Sauter's about it. I was so excited, right? It's good news. How much more do I want to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says that we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God is making his appeal through us. And finally, 1 Peter 2:9, he's laying out our identity here. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who calls you out of darkness into light. I love that word proclaim, because it means use your words, right? We say that to our preschoolers and our toddlers, use your words. At some point in your faith journey, you are going to have to use your words to share your faith. So if all these verses tell us that it's God's command and God's will that we should proclaim his praises, then we have no other choice but to obey, because obedience is God's love language. If we want to obey God, we have to be obedient to his commands. So that brings us to our big idea today. The big idea is that kingdom-minded people make a difference for the kingdom. Now, what do I mean by kingdom-minded people? Well, kingdom-minded people think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So if we're relying on God and we've got our mind set on the things of heaven, then that's going to help us in our journey to share our faith. Today, our verses that we're going to be looking at are from Colossians. If you use a paper Bible, then I would recommend you go ahead and open to those pages and keep it right there. We're going to keep coming back to it. Or if you use the Bible app, just go ahead and open it to this Colossians 4:2-6 passage, because we're going to be coming back to this passage. I call this passage my outreach passage. These verses are things that I regularly pray. I pray through this scripture. Additionally, these passages spell out what our outreach strategy is here in our community. So let's take a look at it. Colossians 4:2-6 says, to devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities. The many opportunities there in the NIV is translated as an open door, and I love that image. So I'm going to be using those words interchangeably, opportunities, open doors, just so you know that it's all the same thing. Why does God give us opportunities? It's to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I, Paul, am here in chains. Pray that I will speak this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response to everyone. So what we're going to do with this passage, we're going to break it down into three sections. And so the first part is about prayer. And prayer is the key that unlocks the door to spiritual conversations. So people sometimes say, don't talk to people about God until you've talked to God about people. You might have heard that saying before. Well, why do we need to pray? Because, I mean, doesn't God desire that no one should perish? He's patient and waiting for people to come to him. So why do we need to pray? Well, prayer reveals our heart towards God and the things of God. And it's what keeps us kingdom-minded. So what should that prayer look like? Well, the passage tells us that, number one, it's to be devoted. And the word devoted here has a meaning of determined, like I'm not giving up. Makes me think about a mission trip that I was on with some high school boys, and they were digging out this bush. And this lady kept coming by, and she kept saying, you're never going to get that out. You're never going to get that out. And those boys were like, if this is the last thing I do on earth, I will get that bush out, you know? That's the kind of spirit that we are to have in our prayer, to be determined. Now, look, I know that many of you have family members, friends, friends, coworkers that you have prayed and prayed for, that they would become a Christian. And my encouragement to you today is don't give up. Keep up the fight in prayer. You may have prayed for 17 years. You may have prayed for 24 years. Keep up the fight in prayer. Be devoted. Be determined. The second characteristic of our prayer is to have an alert mind. The alert mind alerts us to opportunities to share the gospel. So when I like what Pastor Micah said last week. He said that what you look for, you will see. If you are looking for opportunities to share the gospel, you will see opportunities to share the gospel. And finally, our prayer is to have a thankful component. And now this is my favorite part of the prayer, because this is the part where you thank God in advance for what he's going to do. And I actually get really excited when I pray this part, like, God, I can't wait to see what you're going to do today, what door you're going to open. And so we have to have that thankful component. So now once we've prayed up and we are looking for these opportunities, the second thought is that God opens the door and we walk through it by faith. So God opens the door. This passage says that God will give us many opportunities. I've spent many years like trying to kick down the door or knock down the door. You know, just let God open the door to those opportunities, right? And so the weight of opening the door is on God. The weight of salvation is on God. We just have to walk forward in faith through that open door. So what does this look like? Give some examples. So let's take a look at the Apostle Paul. We're going to look at a couple of stories from him. From Acts 17, Paul was standing before the council. He addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way, for I was walking along and I saw your many shrines. And one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God whom you worship without knowing is the one I am telling you about. Now, I want to tell you what happened as a result of what Paul shared here, and it's part of a bigger speech. It says that some sneered, others had questions, but a few believed. See, Paul was just being faithful. He walked through the door of opportunity. He was faithful. But the results were up to God, and the results were some had questions, yay, and some believed. Yay, party in heaven, right? So what does Paul do that we can apply to our own life? Well, one, Paul noticed his way into the spiritual conversation. He said, I noticed that you are very religious. We had a worker in our house one time, and he had a tattoo on his arm, and I just asked him about it. I mean, people who have tattoos, they put it out there for a reason, and there's usually a really good story behind it. And so I just asked him, like, hey, tell me about your tattoo, a very open-ended question, right? So he goes on to tell me that his dad was murdered when he was a kid, and he just started sharing that, you know, he never really has gotten over it. He's still very angry about it. He's just never really gotten past it. And so in that moment, I was actually able to share how we can find forgiveness through Jesus Christ, how we can have peace through Jesus Christ. It was an open door that I had an opportunity to share how Christ could make a difference. So notice things about people. Paul walked around. He looked at the culture. What are they dealing with? To know what was the best way to share his faith. He also built a bridge to where they were spiritually. He saw that they were worshiping an unknown God. Many people worship things, but they're looking for something, an object of that worship. Give them Jesus Christ. He also said, whom you worship, this unknown God, you worship without knowing. And I was thinking in my mind, how do people worship something they don't know? What would that even look like? And then it hit me. That's happening in churches all over our community today, right? There are people in churches, and they're worshiping, but they don't know Jesus Christ. That's an opportunity. Those people have a spiritual seeking, and they are willing to hear about the story of Jesus Christ. You might look for what God is already stirring in a person's heart. I had a friend that I noticed she was doing all these new things, different things. I don't know if she was like golfing 3 times a day, if that's possible. I just noticed, you know. And I said to her, what's going on? I noticed that you're doing all these different things. And she said, I don't know. I think I'm just trying to find my purpose in life. That's an open door right there. What's my purpose, right? And so I was able to share with her, you know, you were created by a loving God, and he does have a purpose for your life. And you know, I'd love to just share more about that with you. And it has opened a door to where we can have some spiritual conversations just by her asking, what's my purpose? Another time I was out with some friends and to dinner, and my friend had some of her coworkers there. And so she and I were just sharing some God stories of how God was working in our lives and the lives of people we knew. And her friend said, well, it's really interesting that you guys are talking about faith, because I've really been thinking about my faith lately. Okay, there's probably an open door here, right? And then she goes on to say, like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm a good person, but what's good enough? And my friend and I looked at each other, and we, like, okay, do you want to take this, or do you want me to? You know? And so she kind of gave me the nod, because it was her coworker. She thought it would be less awkward. And so I said, you know, it is by grace that you have been saved, not work, so that no one can boast. And it's not about how good of a person you are. It's not Jesus plus works. It's just Jesus. And she never knew that before. She had never, ever heard the gospel of grace. And it's allowed my friend and her friend to continue to have these conversations. I'm telling you, when you start praying for open doors and opportunities, they will start. You will be surprised how often God opens an opportunity to share your faith. Well, let's look at another story from Paul. I'm not going to have it up on the screen. You might know the story. It's about when Paul and Silas are in jail. And they are shackled, and they're praising God and singing hymns to God. And what happens is, right in that moment, there's a giant earthquake that blows open the prison doors, and the chains come off, right? And Paul runs away. No, he doesn't. Actually, that's not what happens in the story. He actually stays. And the result of him staying is that when the lights come on and the jailer sees that they're still there, the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Okay, there's an open door question. What must I do to be saved? And here's the really cool thing, is not only did the jailer get saved, he took Paul and Silas back to his home, and the entire family was saved. Now, how did that happen? Well, I believe that Paul was being led by the Holy Spirit and being told to stay, not knowing why. But he didn't do the convenient thing. The convenient thing is, the jail cell's open, I'm out the door, right? But he gave up the convenient thing to do. So what does that look like in a modern day life? Well, it means giving up your time for another person, because opportunities rarely come at opportune times, right? It might mean giving up your preference. Here at McCord Road Church, our two biggest services are this one and the next one. And so we say to people, look, if you are a member of our church, if you could come to the early service or the late service, then that would open up another seat in this service for people to hear the gospel. That was a lot more fun to say at the 8 o'clock service. So I asked them to pray for me, that you wouldn't throw things at me. But sometimes it means giving up our preference. Sometimes it means giving up comfort. Is it uncomfortable to share your faith? Sometimes, yes, it is quite uncomfortable. But we don't apply that logic in any other area of our lives. You know, I've had two babies, and let me tell you, that first one was very uncomfortable on many different levels. But it didn't keep me from having a second baby. We know that our comfort zone is not the place of growth. It's when we step out of our comfort zone when we actually start to grow. And I can promise you, if you try this, if you step forward in faith to share the gospel, you will grow in your faith. People will ask me, well, what if somebody asks me a question I don't know? Then vow to never be stumped by that question again. Just say, I don't know, but I'll find out. And don't get stumped by that question again. Give up your comfort zone. I used to take teens to a conference. It was called Dare to Share. And one of the things they used to tell the teens is, awkward is awesome. And what that basically meant is, yes, it is awkward to share your faith, but also it could be really awesome. The people might actually believe. And wouldn't that be awesome? They believe it so much that actually on their t-shirts, they print awkward is awesome upside down so that you can flip up your t-shirt and read it. And they remind yourself, like, awkward is awesome. This might feel awkward, but something awesome could happen. So step out of your comfort zone. Our last thought for today is to live wisely. The last verses say, to live wisely among those who are not yet believers, and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. So what does that look like? Well, the passage tells us to make the most of every opportunity. Paul made the most of every opportunity by having a kingdom mindset. He relied on God and he had a sole purpose, and his sole purpose was to preach the gospel and to do so clearly. What if we lived with that same mindset? To have our mind on kingdom things, relied on God, and we're able to preach the gospel clearly. Questions we might ask ourselves to make the most of every opportunity: how can I make God's love known in this situation? How does grace make a difference in this situation? How does the gospel make a difference in this situation? Secondly, it says that we're to be full of grace. What does that mean? We're to live as though grace made a difference in your life. And if I had a homework assignment for you this week, it would be to take some time today to think about how grace makes a difference in your life. I would encourage you to write it out, because someday people might ask you, what is it that makes you different? Be full of grace. And finally, make it attractive. What do I mean by make the gospel attractive? I'm not talking about watering down the message. I'm saying, what difference has God made in your life that other people will connect with? I was getting my nails done one day, and a friend of mine was with me. And we were just sharing God's stories of how God was at work. And the girl doing my nails says, I want that. I looked at her, I said, you want what? And she said, well, I've been thinking about getting baptized. And I said, well, why do you want to get baptized? I know that sounds really rude, but I think it was the Holy Spirit, because here's what she said when I said, why do you want to get baptized? She said, because I've heard that if you don't get baptized, you won't go to heaven. And I said, you know, that's not God's salvation plan. It is if you believe in your heart and confess with your tongue that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Baptism is simply an outward expression of that inward faith. It's not God's salvation plan. If you know something about the person, when you observe them, you might see ways to share your faith. I had a friend that I had been praying, God, show me the open door with her. Is there an open door that I can share my faith? One day we were sitting and having coffee, and I said to her, hey, how did you and your husband meet? I've never really heard this story. And she started to tell me the story about how he relentlessly pursued her over months. And she finally said, I give up. I'll go out on a date with you. And I just looked at her and I said, wow, I never knew that your husband was such an example of the kind of loving God that we have, who will leave the 99 to go after the one, that he will relentlessly pursue those that he loves. And it opened up a door that we could continue to have spiritual conversations. Another time I was in a store and I was talking to a guy that works there, like, hey, how do you like your job? I don't know. You know, and I wasn't looking for a spiritual open door. I was just having a conversation. I said, well, what do you do when you're not at work? And I don't know why he chose to share this story other to say that God is stirring in his heart, but he told me the story of how he left home, dropped out of high school, left home, and went to find his own way. See, he thought he knew all about the world and could, you know, just live on his own. And he found that when he got out there that he couldn't really get very far. And so he had to come back home, and his dad welcomed him back home. And I said, oh, you're the prodigal son. He said, what? He acted like he did. And I said, do you don't know the story of the prodigal son? And he said, no. I said, well, it's in the Bible. And he goes, hmm. And I said, well, it's your story. It's a story of a young man who left his father's home. So can I tell you how the story ends? It ends that when he comes back, the father welcomes him with open arms. But here's the thing. That's not a story about a young man. It's a story that's an example of how God loves us. When we repent and we come back to him, he welcomes us with open arms. And there's a party in heaven. And I said, could you get on board with a God like that? And then he got whisked away to work. But see, I don't care about the result, because there was an open door before me. And I was willing to walk through it in faith. And the rest is up to God. Our ultimate goal should be to live a life that raises questions. It says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. A response would indicate that people are asking a question. If someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed, and they'll see what a good life you live because you belong to Jesus. The ask is an open door. If people are asking about your life, feel free to go ahead and walk through that door. That is an open door. It's an opportunity. So what if we lived this way? What if we each lived relying on God? What if we kept our mind on the things of kingdom and not the things of earth? What if we prayed relentlessly for our community that each person would have a chance to respond to the gospel? What if each of us said, well, I'm going to reach 5 people for the gospel? Well, we would have to build a bigger church. You know, this church supports missionaries overseas who live in countries where it's illegal to own a Bible. They burn down churches, and their leaders are put in prison or worse. And they are reaching people for the gospel. How could we expect and want anything less for our own community? There are people in this community who don't know Jesus. Let's not give up the fight. What would it look like if every person in our city heard the gospel and had a chance to respond? Yes, some might sneer, but others would have questions, and we'd welcome those. Holy Toledo. But a few might follow Christ, and wouldn't that make a difference in our community? What if our lives made people curious about the hope that we have in Christ? Now, that doesn't mean that we live a perfect life free of cares, concerns, or worries, but that despite everything happening around us, we can have peace in trial, joy in hardship, love in the face of hate, patience in difficulties. How about self-control in an indulgent world? Now, maybe you're thinking, well, that's not my experience with Christ. I don't have peace. It can be your experience. See, I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't just for eternity. It is for today that we live a life full of everything that God has for us. And so I want to end this service in prayer, and I'm going to ask everybody to stand to your feet. I want everybody to think about what your next step is. Maybe for you, it is just walking through that door to share your faith. Maybe for you, it's, I've made that confession of faith, but I want to take that step of baptism. We have 2 more services. We'll baptize you today. But maybe today something has touched your heart and you realize, I've never really understood the gospel. I've been putting my salvation plan in my good works. Today, would you take that step of faith to put your faith in Christ and Him alone? Because God created you to be in a relationship with Him. But our sin separated us from a loving God, and sin cannot be repaid by good deeds. But paying the price for our sin, Jesus died and rose again, that everyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. And that life with Jesus starts now, and it lasts forever. And if you want to have that in your heart today, I just want to pray with you. God, let's pray. Father God, we thank You and we praise You that You created us. God, we confess that we are sinners in need of a Savior. God, we repent from those sins, knowing that You will welcome us with open arms. God, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who paid the penalty of our sin. God, we desire to have a relationship with You starting today, to have a life full of everything that You would have us. God, we thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.